There were frogs. Where were the Bible tells where the frogs were, right? Where were the frogs?
Everywhere.
You want to be more specific than everywhere? In their cooking pots, is that what you said? Everywhere. In their ovens. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, man? You open the oven, here's a frog in there. You stop and think about it. Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, Pharaoh says to Moses, get rid of these frogs. And Moses said, when do you want us to get rid of these frogs? I want to know what answer you would have given. You know, yesterday, how's yesterday? I mean, there are, can you imagine trying to go to sleep at night and there are frogs all in the bed? You know, I mean, you're talking about looking under the covers, and then all of a sudden, man, there are all of these frogs hopping around. You know, you go to sleep, and they're hopping on your head and all the rest. I mean, if they're everywhere, they're everywhere. And God says to Pharaoh, when do you want me to remove these frogs? And Pharaoh says, what? In the morning? Tomorrow? That's right, Harrison. He said tomorrow. That's an amazing statement. And yet they were removed. Third plague. What? Flies. Is that what you said? Lice like in the hair. All right. Lice like in the hair. And the fourth one? Flies. The fifth one? He killed all of the cattle, and you got to read it carefully, by the way, all of the cattle that were in the field. You know, moderns, people don't want to believe the Bible said, yeah, but if he killed all the cattle, then whenever, how did Pharaoh pull his chariots? You know, all of his animals would have been killed whenever he, you know, after the 10th plague, and he comes out to catch the Israelites. Where on earth did he find those horses? You know, all of the animals were killed. Well, it's those that were in the field. God doesn't back himself into a corner like you and I might in relationship to it. The sixth plague. Boils. You'll never know. Kelly, you'll never know what a boil is. You'll never have one. Because of penicillin, you'll never have one, I guess. But ask some of these old, anciently old people, if there are any of those around here. I started to call somebody by name, but I'll be in bad trouble. How many of you have ever had a boil? Just, if you want to see anciently old people, just look around right now, all right? That's it. Tina says she's not anciently old. I'm telling you, there's nothing on earth like a boil. It's a festering sore that has pus in it. And when I had them, my mom would take a big needle and pop it, and the stuff, you know what? That's no exaggeration, right? That's what happened. Now, you know, imagine having boils all over you. Job had them even on the top of his head down to the sole of his feet, totally covering his body. You can't sit down if you got a boil. I'm sorry. And you start, how did Job take care of his boils, by the way? You remember? He scraped it with what? Pottery. The old King James, he scraped it with a potsherd. A potsherd. It's just a piece of broken pottery. And he just took it and scraped it. If you ever had a boil, you know you wouldn't do that. You know, mama would really have to be mad at you for you to sit there and let her do it that way. That's how painful it was. Seventh plague. Hail. Eighth plague. Locust, ninth plague. How dark was the darkness? Anybody got a Bible? Open it up. Find the plague of Exodus. In which book in the Bible would I read about the Exodus? Exodus, all right. Is one of the key locations where the plagues are found? I doubt that that's right. I know 13 is where the Passover is, so back up to about 11 or 12 or something, chapters 10 or 11. Anybody found the verse? Read it. Who's got it? You got a loud voice, Joan? I know you do. Yes, okay. Everybody be real quiet. Joan has trouble being heard. Okay. I thought you gave the right answers to where it was found. Okay.
Verse 21.
21. Stretch out your hands toward the heavens. There may be darkness over the land. Moses stretched out his hand. They did not see one another. You know how dark that is? They did not see one another. Darkness which might be felt. I want you to imagine how dark that is. Like that, it's darkness. And you don't know where you are. Gary?
Up in North Carolina, we were in the mountains. The other night, there was a big storm.
You know? Can you imagine that? I mean, how would you find your bed? How would you find your food? Wouldn't you think about on the second day? What'd you say over here about finding your bed? Just follow the frogs, okay? Follow the frogs. That's where they are, okay? But you've got to understand the magnitude of these miracles. I mean, God is what? It's the opposite of darkness. That's not hard. Is there maybe a subtle message there about that darkness that's there? You remember the cloud that was out there became darkness to the Israelites, to the Egyptians as they crossed the Red Sea? But you've got to understand, they can't see anybody. And you're sitting in the house, and all of a sudden it gets so dark that all you can do is to communicate by talking to someone. Where are you? Where are you? You over there? That's all you could do. Mama, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm cold. Honey, I told you all to get some water and bring it in this house. I'm thirsty. Can you imagine that? You and I need to understand that God blotted out the sunlight. And think of how many pagan nations have worshiped the sun. And all of the mythology there is tied around the origin of the sun and all of those things. Think of Greek mythology and things of that nature. And here is right in their face the judgment of God. I think we ought to learn these plagues. I think we ought to know water to blood and frogs and lice and flies and murrain of the cattle and boils and the hail and the fire that came running across the ground in relationship to that. Evidently, that's almost like a description of rolling thunder. You hear about thunder, lightning rolling along the ground, and there's that description in there. And then the matter of the locusts, and the crops are gone. The devastation when the Israelites leave the land of Egypt, their cattle are dead, there's no food, and the stench that is there from the plague of the frogs and the imagine trying to bury all of those cattle. Imagine that. Knew a farmer several years ago, not that many years ago, an elder in the church outside of Hamilton, Alabama. And a thunderstorm came up and he had 50 cattle and all 50 of them went under and got under a tree. So, you know, they sort of tried to find protection. They all moved up and lightning hit that tree and killed every one of those cattle. You imagine trying to bury 50 cows, you know, at one time. Tell you about the goodness of those folks up there. Farmers in that county heard what had happened to him, and every one of them, one by one, they brought him cattle. By nightfall, he had his herd back. There's still a lot of good folks on this earth. But you just imagine that darkness. Last plague, Death of the firstborn. Death of the firstborn. I used to say, can you imagine the next morning when they woke up? But they left at midnight. They left at midnight. But can you imagine? Some of you have heard the cry of death when somebody discovered somebody dead in the house. And if you haven't heard it, you've seen it on television. And if you haven't seen it on television, you can use your imagination. In some house there in Egypt, there was the cry of death. Firstborn. And in the next house, and the next house, and the next house, and the next house, and the next house. But it wasn't just the firstborn in the household. How did God know who was the firstborn? You understand? I mean, that in and of itself shows the magnitude of God. But it wasn't just in the house. What else, what other firstborn were killed? The cattle. How does God know the firstborn of the cattle? I mean, that's a rhetorical question just to try to get you to think about the magnitude of the power of God. Unbelievable, the magnitude of the power of God. That's something. Death of the firstborn. Well, that may be enough for tonight. That may be enough for tonight. Anything else we need to talk about? Let's look at the prophet card. And hey, let me ask you something to do something. If you haven't taken the test on the prophet card, would you go ahead and do it? If you want to keep me and David encouraged, we need your response. There's hundreds of hours on these cards right here. Hundreds of hours put on these cards. And for your own good, you need to try to do these tests. And, don't worry if you miss questions. It's all right. I mean, you understand what I mean. It's just, it's a learning. That's why they have tests in schools a lot of times, is to encourage people to study and to do that type of thing. But you sit down and look at the 60 questions that are here. There's really not that many. And you could guess the chapters in Genesis. There are only 9 chapters in this prophet card. There are only 9 chapters. If I said, in what chapter would I read about the creation? That's pretty easy. And in what chapter would I read about the flood? In what chapter would I read about the sin? Well, see, you already know half. If you know that, you know about half of the questions that's here. And so let me encourage you to do that. And then you can take the quiz. It's on the honor system. The quizzes are out there in that Bible center on the right, on my right, as you're on your left right now. But as you leave, on your right out there, just go and take up one of those tests. Take it home, practice it. And take 2 of them home. One of them to do a practice test, see what you know, what you don't know. Because it's a learning experience. And you're not going to learn it just by being here every Sunday night. Harrison does not know this just because he comes on Sunday nights. Thank you, Holly. And thank you all your other mamas and daddies who are doing everything you can to teach these things to your children. And then the Bible verses, we didn't arbitrarily just say, okay, let's find the hardest verses we can find in the book of Genesis and put them on here. Every Bible verse that's on here is by design. It's something that you'll need to know the rest of your life. And if you'll learn it while you're young, you'll be thankful that you know all of this. Altogether, there are 78 things on this prophet card. And you already know, just from being exposed to the Bible, you probably already know 45 or 50 of them. So you've really only got that little to learn. Now, the other aspect of that is to go on the Internet. Just go to the church's site and go to the Bible quiz section and go on there. And take the quiz that's there. Now, some of you still need to go and take this quiz, the overview of the Bible. This is the easy one. How many books in the Bible? How many books in the Old Testament? How many books in the New Testament? How many years wrote the Bible? How many years involved in writing the Bible? What languages were the Bibles written in? The only difficult one on this is on the King card, the 15 periods of Bible history. But if you'll just think a little bit, you memorize all of those. But would you do that? And it's not so that we can brag and say, hey, look what we're doing. That's not what it's all about. It's about your word have I hidden in my heart. And guys, I can't hide it in my heart till I get it in my head. You know, those plagues are, they're just 10 words. But if you're going to meditate on the law of the Lord, you need to go there and think about every one of those plagues and the manifestation of the power of God in relationship to it. And that's how you have, you know, Kelly, that's how you have your faith and not the faith your mama and daddy have. You know, Danielle, you don't need glorious faith. You need yours. And the way you get that is by getting in here and making these things yours. And that's really, really important. Let me say it one other way. When my kids were little, they loved nursery rhymes. And they loved, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk. They loved all of those stories and tried to give them a well-rounded education. And I made changes to Jack and the Beanstalk. And so you make that story very interesting, too, if you want to. But the great thing was, after we talked about that, I said, now I want to tell you a story. This one really, really happened. It's a true story. All of these other stories are make-believe stories. I want to tell you a true story. And when you're learning this, it really happened. That Red Sea really did open up. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a Saturday morning cartoon. It really happened. And when you make that yours, and you have times in your life when you need God's help, it'll be there. And you'll know that it'll be there because not your mamas and daddy, not because Dan told you, but because you know there is a God. He is alive.